بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن أبي محمد عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: 40 خصلة أعلاها منيحة العنز، ما من عامل يعمل بخصلة منها رجاء ثوابها وتصديق موعودها إلا أدخله الله بها الجنة. رواه البخاري. المنيحة أن يعطيه إياها ليأكل لبنها ثم يردها إليه. The narrator of this hadith is a very, very famous Sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Amr bin As رضي الله تعالى عنه. On the one hand, he was a Sahabi, his father also was a Sahabi. His acceptance of Islam preceded his father. And concerning the Sahabi Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know amongst the galaxy of Sahaba Ikram the most ahadith that were narrated. Some say 5,374 ahadith were narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But concerning Abdullah bin Amr bin As, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said: ما كان أحد أكثر حديثاً عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مني إلا عبد بن عمر كان يكتب ولا أكتب. With regards to him, Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه used to say that there is no one that has narrated more hadith. There is no one that has narrated more hadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم than me, except Abdullah bin Amr bin As. And he went on to explain why is it that the number of hadith from Abdullah bin Amr bin As is more than himself. He said, "Kana yaktubu wala aktub." That Abdullah bin Amr bin As used to write down the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst Abu Huraira would not write down. The reason Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala who used to write down the ahadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had specially given him permission to write down these ahadith. It is mentioned that 700 ahadith are narrated. Now, it looks like a little bit of a disparity. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Abdullah bin Amr bin As narrated more ahadith than myself. Yet over 5,000 Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, and yet only 700 ahadith are narrated from Abdullah bin Amr bin As. The explanation for this, ulama ikram give, is that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, till his demise, remained in Madinah Munawwara. And Madinah Munawwara was a markaz and center for ilm and knowledge. People used to come from throughout the Islamic world to Madinah Munawwara to acquire the knowledge of deen. So the affairs of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was more widespread. Whilst Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma migrated from Madinah Munawwara to Egypt. And Egypt was not at that time a center of deeni knowledge. So the number of people that benefited from his knowledge were fewer. This is why we find that fewer ahadith are narrated by Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Of the 700 ahadith, we find there is muttafaq alayh, that is in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, 17 ahadith. In Bukhari Sharif specifically 8 and Muslim Sharif 20. In other words, in Firadan, that is Bukhari mentioned 8 ahadith which are not found in Muslim Sharif. Muslim Sharif mentioned 20, and Bukhari and Muslim together, there were another 17 ahadith. This sahabi is very, very famous for being, on the one hand, besides a great scholar and a prolific narrator of ahadith. He was a youngster when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alive, took part in all the expeditions, but he was a great abid, a very, very great worshipper. He used to make a lot of ibadat. In fact, it is mentioned about him. More detail about this incident will come later. But on one occasion, when he got married, one day his father, Amr bin As, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was also a great mujahid and a great sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He came to his daughter-in-law just after his son got married. And he asked her that, Kayfa wajadta Abdullah? How do you find my son? How is my son treating you? Nowadays, if someone has to go to his daughter-in-law and say that, how is my son treating you? Illa mashallah, we'll get a list of complaints. He's like this and he's like that. Like one of our sadhis used to say, that the only time a woman has anything good to say about a husband is before he gets married and after he dies. In between, akhlaq of people nowadays is such that you'll very rarely hear anything positive said about a husband. This young Sahabi, this young woman had a credible complaint against her husband. The complaint she wanted to put forward was a credible complaint. It was well grounded. Yet she doesn't complain. She indirectly, when he asks, "How is my son treating you?" Ni'mar Rajul. Ni'mar Rajul, he is the best of men. Best of men. Kana yaqumu al-layl wa yasumu al-nahar. He fasts every day and his entire night is spent in salah. Now, what does this mean? If he's fasting every day and his entire night is spent in salah, then when is he finding any time for his wife? Obviously, he's not finding any time for his wife. So this is a complaint, but look at the manner in which she puts it forward, praising him. This was the type of akhlaq and character that was present in the time of Medina Sharif, in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was the barakah of the tarbiyah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when Umar bin As hears this, he gets very, very upset that ibadat all the time is not matlub in Sharia. There has to be balance, there has to be moderation. So he goes and complains to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends for Abdullah bin Amr bin As, and he tells him, "Abdullah, it is not like that. Your wife has a right, your body has a right, etc., etc." Like I said, this is a famous incident which more detail will come later on. But it explains the mizaj and the temperament of Abdullah bin Amr bin As. This was a sahabi that if he could help it, every day would be in fast, roza. And every night, the entire night, would be in ibadat, in tahajjud, etc. He mentions the narration, this particular hadith. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there are 40 very great qualities. There are 40 very beneficial qualities or actions. Arbauna khasla. The highest of it is what is referred to as manihatul anz. Manihatul anz was a practice that used to take place in those days. In other words, if you have a goat or a sheep or whatever animal that bears milk, to give this in loan to someone for them to utilize its benefit. This used to take place. Sometimes you've got a goat that is milk bearing, they will give it to the neighbor and say, "Okay, keep my goat for so many months, and whatever milk you derive from it, it's yours. I'm loaning this animal to you, and I'm giving you permission to derive benefit from it." So this was one practice that used to take place. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there are 40 great qualities or great practices, the highest of which is to give your goat on loan so that people can derive benefit from its milk. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ma min amilin ya'malu bi khaslatin minha." No one will practice on any of these 40. No one will practice on any of these 40 with two conditions. Two conditions: raja'a thawabiha, with the hope that Allah will reward him. With the hope that Allah will reward him. Wa tasdiqa mu'udiha, and with the complete conviction that whatever Allah has promised, Allah will definitely grant it to me. So one, hope for reward. The other is to have the conviction that the promises of Allah are haq, they are true. What Allah has promised me, Allah is going to give me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if you will do any of these 40 things, any of these 40 things, one of which is mentioned in this hadith, where he said, "Allah," the highest of which is to give your goat on loan to someone, so someone can derive benefit from its milk. In modern day terms, loan your car to someone, or to loan something that gives benefit to others so that they derive the benefit of it. But with the hope of reward and with conviction in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will happen? أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا الْجَنَّةِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah will enter this person into Jannah. We have heard many, many ahadiths where the same theme is put forward again and again, again and again, that a Muslim is one who benefits the makhluk of Allah. Everyone he comes into contact with all the time, he's going to look for some chance, some opportunity, some action he can do by which he benefits the next person. Even if it is idkhal al-surur, even if it means making someone happy. This is ibadat. This is ibadat, to be a benefit to your fellow human being. Islam inculcates, Islam advises us, be someone who plants vegetation, be someone who removes difficulties from the road, be someone who if there is litter, you will pick it up. Be someone, you see somebody in a problem, give someone a lift, assist someone, spend on the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, as an ummah today, these qualities are not there in us. This is why people are not being attracted to Islam. Start in our own homes. That domestic servant that is in our homes. How many of us, when it comes to dealing with that person that is a human being, yet we speak anyhow to them? We make unnecessary demands upon them. We pay them a paltry salary. This is just one example of the fact that we are very, very poor ambassadors of Islam. The same person will be waking up for tahajjud salah. The same person will be fasting. The same person will be making tilawat of Quran every day. Yet when it comes to these things, it's not there in our lives. Especially people, the poor, our staff, people we come in, we speak anyhow to them, insult them, and feel that because we're paying them a salary, this gives us a right. In fact, my respected brothers, what this is in reality is like you're taking a match to dry grass and lighting it up. This is what we are doing to our amal. We are wiping our amal away. One hand we're making ibadat, the other hand we are a source of taklif and duk and pain to those who we come into contact with. My respected brothers, this is not Islam. This is not akhlaq. This is not character. And we are fooling ourselves that we are good Muslims if this is the type of attitude we have to those who we come into contact with. So very, very important, we find that amongst what are the other actions that are mentioned, ulama ikram say in this hadith it is not mentioned, but they have listed certain other actions based on other ahadith. An example of this is concealing faults of a Muslim, planting a tree, being compassionate to others, sharing in the joys and happiness of people. This is ibadat, sharing in the joys and happiness of people, creating space for someone to join a gathering, replying to salam. If someone sneezes, to say alhamdulillah or yarhamukallah, etc. When he says alhamdulillah, to say yarhamukallah. All these, what is the distinguishing characteristics? It is a source of benefit to your fellow human being. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.